Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
If you updated your iPhone the other day, maybe you have a few issues like I do, but you'll notice there's something they unveiled called the Legacy Contact. So we're turning to an expert about this. I mean, she knows everything. I would say, Lisa, that you know a heck of a lot about this. Lisa is a senior editor for CNET covering mobile devices. Prior to joining CNET, she served as a senior tech correspondent at Insider covering Apple and the broader consumer tech industry, and previously a tech columnist for Time magazine. And you got your start as a staff writer for Laptop Mag and Tom's Guide. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct.
And is it Edikio, or tell me how to pronounce your last name?
Sure, it's Edikio.
Oh, geez. I was off a little bit, but thank you for being so gracious. So,
no problem.
Before we get to the Legacy Contact thing, which most of us here were talking about, we're like, I don't know who we choose for our Legacy Contact because it seems to be a big decision. But can we just talk about the upgrade to iOS 15 point whatever? Why, when I upgrade my iPhone, do I feel like all of a sudden I'm out of sorts? Nothing is kind of like it was before, and doesn't seem to work as well. Is that just me as a user not jumping in and getting used to all of the new features?
You know, I think that's something that we've heard come up a lot in recent years, that people kind of notice changes when they update, of course, because Apple is adding new features. But, you know, I do think one thing that Apple does that makes this a lot easier than some Android device makers is they really do release most of their big updates in the big one that comes out in September. So when you upgraded from iOS 14 to iOS 15, that's probably when you felt the biggest change, and that's probably the biggest learning curve for most iPhone users. But these updates, like iOS 15.2, usually add a few extra features, maybe some of the ones that Apple announced, when they unveiled iOS 15 that weren't ready when the software launched in September. But, you know, some of these tend to trickle out later, and we've been seeing that happen more and more. So that could be part of the reason why even these smaller updates kind of feel, you know, more different than they have in years past.
Lisa knows a lot about mobile devices, so if you have a question, pick up the phone or text us a question at 312-981-7200. So tell me, if you don't do the update, which I know sometimes my husband forgets, and I tell him, just put it on automated update. Just do it. you really are at risk for some bugs, right? I mean, not bugs because it's Apple, but you put yourself at some bit of risk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great idea to update all the time because you're absolutely right. In general, the most up-to-date software versions usually have increased security and bug fixes and things like that. And, you know, like you said, Apple software is generally pretty safe, but, the bad guys out there, the malicious actors and hackers are always trying to be one step ahead of the good guys. So, you know, companies like Apple try to circumvent that as much as they possibly can. And a lot of those protections and fixes come in software updates. So, yes, it is definitely a good idea to put your phone on automatically update if you can. And I would also recommend backing up your data as much as you can as well, because, you know, it's good to have peace of mind if you do update and something happens to go wrong, which, again, is pretty rare, but it's always a good idea to do it just in case.
Okay, so about the new legacy option that they're giving you on iPhones, where you choose one person that you trust so that when you pass, they have access to your phone. And that includes just about access to everything on your phone. So you're talking pictures, contacts, personal information that you might have put in notes?
Yes. So you do get information like that. So, like, really crucial information that, you know, a loved one might want. So exactly like you said, photos, messages, calendars, contacts, things like that. But there are some pieces of information that are not transferred over, because remember that this isn't, you're not just handing over the keys to your regular Apple ID and iCloud account. This is a special iCloud account that is made that only includes certain data, like the different types of information I just mentioned. So, you know, examples of things that you won't get, for example, are payment information, passwords that were saved in the person's Safari keychain, and licensed media purchases like movies and TV shows and things like that. So it's a lot of stuff. It's almost everything, but it's not quite everything.
And it really is tough when you do pass unexpectedly and nobody does have that password information, because it's crucial to shut down accounts or to prevent any future fraud. And so it's one of those things, I guess, you have to take care of immediately and just tell the people that are close to you that information. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, you know, I think that's exactly right. I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that we do pretty much everything on our phones these days. And having that information is really critical for the people who need it, for, you know, the trusted loved ones that are, you know, making arrangements and taking care of things and doing estate planning. So it is a good idea, because, you know, this is really critical. And, you know, Apple does make it so that, you know, not that it's a difficult process, but so that it's intentional. So the account holder does have to designate their specific contact. And they also, you know, when they do that, they get a special key that they give to that contact. So in order to get access to that information, the legacy contact needs to have that key to request the access. So it is easy to set up, but it is something that Apple has designed to make it intentional so that the information does fall into the right hands.
Lisa is a senior editor for CNET covering mobile devices, and we're talking about a new option on iPhones called Legacy Contact, where you basically give a virtual key to someone that you trust that will have access to the information on your phone when you pass. So can you give it to two contacts? Because somebody texted us yesterday and said, what if I were to die in a car crash with my husband and he was my contact?
Yes, you can give it to more than one contact. So I don't know if there's a specific limit on how many contacts you can have, but you can definitely share it with more than one person. And that contact doesn't even have to be an iPhone user. You can share it with someone who's an Android user, regardless of what phone they have. So it really is designed to be, you know, shared with anybody that you trust.
And what happens if somebody steals your phone? Is it something where they could get access to that? Or really, I mean, if they steal your phone, they've got access to everything anyway, right?
Yeah, and I mean, exactly. I would think of it the same way as you would think of how you would normally protect your phone, right? There are certain safeguards in place. So there's your passcode, there's Face ID. You know, you can report the phone stolen and have it, you know, shut down that way. So, you know, I would say it's probably the same. And also, when you do set up this legacy iCloud account, like let's say you're the legacy contact, you put in the request, it's approved, you're making that special Apple ID now to get the data, you have to set up two-factor authentication on that account. So it's clear that, you know, they're trying to think ahead to those types of scenarios and try to protect against them as much as possible.
We just got a text from 847. They said, if you keep your iPhone updated with software updates, then do you need an antivirus and malware package like Norton? They said they hear it both ways. Some say an outside antivirus malware may interfere and make the iPhone less secure. What do you suggest?
I would say on an iPhone, you probably don't need that kind of software. It's something that, you know, Apple has been pretty good at protecting against without the additional software. So I think in general, you're probably fine with that one. It's not something that I typically recommend, but also keep in mind that for Apple devices, you know, Apple only provides a certain amount of access to third-party programs and things like that, right? So that's probably part of the reason why it's not very common to use antivirus software on iPhones. But again, I think anytime you're thinking about something like that, the best thing you can do is, you know, do the research and look into these companies behind the products and really practice good, good safety practices, like setting up two-factor authentication, not clicking links that seem suspicious or that you're not absolutely positive where they might be from. Really taking those kinds of precautions are the best way to keep your iPhone safe.
Well, thanks for catching up with us this afternoon, Lisa. And who's your legacy contact? Not by name, but by, like, who would you choose?
You know, I haven't set mine up yet, but I will probably choose my husband and my immediate family.
That would be key for most of us, I think. Have a great
day. Thank you. You too.